All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. It is Freak Flag Feel Good, Fake It Till You Make It, Ric Flair, Woo! 512 Friday edition of the Rodcast. And that's when my co-host, the Idealionaire, Patrick Davis, plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is A Giant Dog, and they are playing Saturday at Sagebrush.
It's a great name, actually. Giant Dog. Everything about Clifford the Big Red Dog for some reason. All right, there you go. My man Patrick always hooking us up on a 512 Friday. We appreciate that. Also, Patrick is always hooking us up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day, one that is a kind of a gut punch for all of the Cowboys fans out there. Patrick, give the folks the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day.
Big Fat Poll of the Day. Start, bench, cut, Zeke, Deuce, Rico. Ezekiel Elliott, Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dotto. Which one do you start, bench, cut? We asked you at the Horn ATX. We asked you who you would cut in the poll. Right now, Zeke is winning. Deuce Vaughn and Rico Dotto are tied.
Yeah. Deuce Vaughn. What?
Yeah, they're tied.
Say that again?
So
tied.
Zeke is winning. Zeke, everyone says cut Zeke. Zeke is the front runner for cuts. But Rico Dotto just took the lead. Rico Dotto's now second. Deuce Vaughn. People want to keep Deuce.
I thought it was a no-brainer that Rico stayed. Okay.
No love for Rico there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, there shouldn't be love for Rico. Rico hadn't done anything.
There should be more like for Rico, though.
Yes, there should be than Deuce. But you know what? I talked about the mystery box. People want that damn mystery box. I mean, the mystery box intrigues people, and that's kind of what Deuce Vaughn represents. He's the mystery box guy. You don't know what you have. It could be, you know, a dynamic addition to the backfield. It could be a dud. We don't really know, but mystery box. And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with here with a lot of Cowboys fans. But Rico Dotto, just no respect for Rico. Rico said that too. Remember when everybody kept talking about, even before they picked up Zeke, how they kept talking about the Cowboys didn't have any running backs? And I believe he tweeted something out to that effect like, hey, guys, I'm still here. Like, I'm still a running back here with the Cowboys. I'm still an option. So we'll see. I think the Cowboys are going to be struggling a little bit when it comes to their running game this year.
Just looking at the stats, Tony Pollard led the way. He clearly had most carries. But Tony Pollard had 1,000 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry last year. Rico Dotto carried the ball 89 times. He averaged 4.1 yards per carry. Deuce Vaughn carried the ball 23 times. He averaged 1.7 yards per carry.
Like I said, mystery box. Mystery box. And like I said, we don't know what you got in Deuce. You know, it may be something great. It may be something elite, or he may, just be a dud. So if I'm the Cowboys, y'all got to go get something done. About a month before training camp, they need to be working on trades, and they need to be looking at potential cuts and what running backs are going to be available. But I would rather them trade for a Damian Pierce or trade for somebody like that. You don't want the other team's throwaways, essentially, and their cuts, because those are going to be guys who are third, fourth options for other teams. And essentially, that's what you have right now, is you have a couple of third and fourth options. And what you need is a back you know is going to be dependable and effective as a feature back. And you don't have that. The poll is a prime example. Even the fans, nobody believes that Rico Dotto could be that guy either.
No, and I get you want to wait because, again, you said earlier, Jerry believes deadline makes deals. And so you say, well, we know that if we wait and someone is named the second string or third string back, we can get him for cheaper. The problem is no one you're getting is going to be a plug and play. We can put him in and he's ready to go and knows our system and let's go play game week one. So you really would like them to be there for training camp. You'd like them to be there to learn things and be in your system a little bit more so you can feel good about them going into the season. But I feel like they're waiting until preseason or maybe after camp to make a move when teams start to, solidify their depth chart a bit more, which – at that point, it's just dangerous.
Dangerous, man. Except hope is not a strategy. I think they're hoping that works out for them. I would, if I was the Cowboys, I'd be a little bit more proactive, a little bit more aggressive when it comes to that running back position. All right. Before we move on, we got a lot to get into this hour. We got Rod's rant. We also have the Rangers report. We'll get to those a little bit later on. I want to get to these head coach rankings from CBS Sports. That's also this ESPN article about sleepers and who the sleeper is potentially on the Texas team. That's another W2. And what just broke from it must be the media days from, is it the Mountain West? Colorado State and Jay Norvell, who is the head coach of Colorado State. He recently made a very troubling accusation about one of his players being recruited, attempting to poach one of his players on his team, and the price tag that one team was willing to pay to poach his starting quarterback. So we'll get into that because we have that audio, and that's making the rounds now. When you hear it, in this day and age, it shouldn't surprise anybody, but I was taken aback like, whoa, and just how forthcoming and upfront he's being about it. And he was obviously offended, and I guess the player did not take the deal, whatever the offer was. I'm assuming that his player is staying there. I got to go make sure I check.
He's still
out
on the roster.
He's still on the roster. Okay, yeah. All right. So he passed up on that deal. Hey, you know what? And I wonder. Anyway, we'll talk about it. My man Patrick found the audio, so we'll do that. But first, let's get updated, educated, and informed on all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and the Horn Headlines.
All right, Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the MLB, the Astros got the win over the Marlins 6-3 yesterday and swept their series 3-0. Jake Bloss pitched 4 innings in his second career start, allowing 2 runs while striking out 4. The bullpen got it done the rest of the way, striking out 7 and getting the Astros record up to 49-44. Yordan Alvarez missed a game after leaving Wednesday's game with right hip tightness, but in good news, Kyle Tucker was involved in pregame activities for the first time since his shin injury on June 3rd. The Rangers and Astros will begin their weekend series today, renewing the rivalry in Houston while Arlington gets ready for the All-Star weekend. Albert Haney will take the mound for the Rangers with a 3-9 record, and Hunter Brown gets a start for the Astros after getting his record up to 6-6 on the season with a streak of quality starts. The Rangers can make some headway in the AL West division race as they are only 5 games behind the Astros and cut that down with a series victory this weekend. That is your Horn Headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. Appreciate those. I want to get to this Jay Norvell audio because, like I said, it's making the rounds, and a lot of people are talking about it and retweeting it. It'll probably hit your timeline pretty soon. If it hasn't, then we'll play it for you right now. So Jay Norvell is at their media days, and he's talking about the NIL and transfer portal, and then makes this bold accusation.
Braden had the same kind of offers, and you can't, if you have enough evidence, you can prove it, but, you know, smoking gun. You know, he said a guy from Kent State called him, offering him $600,000 because they lost their quarterback, and if he got in the portal. And I'm not accusing Kansas State of anything, I'm just telling you what the kid told me. And so if they don't want their name thrown in it, I think they should probably get a handle on their people. But there's a lot of that going on in college football, and that's just the way things are right now.
Ooh, okay, man. By the way, their quarterback, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, he last year completed 62% of his passes, over 3,400 passing yards, 6.8 yards per attempt, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. I will say it's amazing because they actually kept Colorado State. They kept their receiver, too, who was a really good receiver for them, Torrey Horton. And last year he had over 1,100 yards and 96 receptions. I don't know how they kept him because I'm sure he was being offered some ungodly sum of money, too, via the transfer portal. And he stayed there. So that was an accomplishment in itself, and it was an accomplishment for them to keep Braden Fowler Nicolosi there, if indeed that offer is legit, that he was offered $600,000. I don't know what they did to counter that offer, or maybe he decided to give them a hometown discount, But those are the kind of dollar figures that are being floated around about a quarterback. Remember, I gave you guys the numbers from Open Doors. Open Doors, remember, they did their annual review and they did their annual analysis of all the NIL transactions around the country, and they have been on the forefront of documenting and tracking these NIL transactions from the jump. They claimed in their latest review that the starting quarterback for a top 25 team, that is not Colorado State, earns an average of $821,000. And that is up from last year at $648,000. Well, this is their projections for next year. So last year, basically, this past year, they had it at $648,000. That was the average that a top 25 quarterback got. And the firm anticipates the salary to get close to $1 million by 2026 for the average top 25 quarterback. And I remember also seeing, 24/7 Sports, they did a college football NIL market transfer value chart for each position. Remember, John Talti spoke to agents, spoke to players, and spoke to collectives and directives to try to get a range of what the value was for each position and what they earned via the free market when they hit the transfer portal. And he had the quarterback market range from $500,000 to $800,000. Seems about right. It's right near $600,000.
But my
thing was, he wasn't even that good. He's an average QB. So imagine what above average quarterbacks are
getting. But not only that, that's not the starting job. They have Avery Johnson. They got this four-star that they let Will Howard walk. He's sharing snaps with Avery Johnson. That's what's kind of worse. Right? That's a school where apparently they're willing to say, well, we're paying Avery all this because we got him to come here, and he's the highest recruit we've got, four-star from Kansas, and we're thrilled we got him. And we're going to pay another quarterback $600,000 to come.
Yeah.
But that's also where this is when, people talk about the regulation they want in NIL. More of it is he can say someone from Kansas State called and they want this. But we don't know if that was a donor who doesn't like Avery Johnson and said, I'll pay you to go there. We don't know if it was an assistant coach reaching out on his own. We don't know if it was somebody from another school who just wanted him to get in the portal. And then once he got in, Kansas State go, we never called you. And now he's already in the portal. And now you can call him from another school and say, hey, well, we want to look at you. There's no way to tell who it is.
No.
And there's no way to do that because there's no regulations on it. There's no reporting on it. And so because it's so under the table and so backwards, you don't know where that call came from. And you don't know if the number is true either. The kid could have said, man, I'm making $50,000 as a quarterback here. I see what the evaluation is. I'm going to go to coach and tell him I got offered $600,000 and maybe I'll get a boost in pay. It could be that. I'm not saying because I clearly don't know the kid. And I don't know what happened. So any of those scenarios could be true. And it could be a combination of those.
No, I tend to think that the number is accurate. Now, whether that young man is being truthful about being offered that number.
Yeah.
But the value of the quarterback, that's why I gave different, different entities that have studied it. But, yeah, whether he actually got the offer from K-State, nobody will know because K-State will never admit it. And like you said, it could have come from a collective, could have come from a directive. It could have come from a coach. It could have, a booster. You have no idea where that the offer actually came from. And because of that, I'm not going to question its legitimacy, but you'll never be able to actually get anybody to go on the record that he was offered that.
That was a whole, Connor Stallions thing was that was a donor who was overstepping his bounds and paying, trying to get this guy so that Michigan could get an advantage in a world where.
Well, we think. Well, Jim Harbaugh probably knew a little
something. No, I know, but I'm just saying it was a donor.
A rogue donor.
He was a rogue donor. And then, but you say there's donors who will want to get things done and they may reach out on their own because they're powerful men and women. They can go and make their own phone calls.
Well, right now I'm leaning toward thinking that it was part of K-State because they played two quarterbacks last year. They played two quarterbacks every year.
Yeah.
Remember, they brought in, they had Will Howard and brought in Adrian Martinez.
Yeah.
Right? And then they had Will Howard and Avery Johnson at the same time, and they played both of those quarterbacks. I tend to think that's what Chris Kleiman likes. I think he likes having the insurance policy of having another quarterback that he deems basically a capable starter there. And now having just Avery Johnson there, he doesn't have that situation. And Avery Johnson likes to run, which means he could get hurt.
Oh, I agree.
Very easily. So I do think the urgency for K-State does match, you know, recent history with them. I believe it. I do. I'm just hearing too much about how much these quarterbacks are getting. It's crazy, the numbers that have been thrown out there. And I just gave you Open Doors' report. I gave you 247 Sport report about it. And that is definitely the range for quarterbacks. Now, I guess the question now we're trying to ask is, we've confirmed that, whether this young man actually did get an offer from K-State of $600,000. But there's no doubt the value of quarterbacks now, of top quarterbacks, is in that range. Did he get it from them? I don't know. But you know what, Patrick? These young people are smart as hell. Because I'd make up some fantasy number too. Go, you know what? Go confirm it. Or go, you know what I mean? Go confirm it yourself. If you don't believe me, then go confirm it.
No, no. And this is more what I would assume. Because I could assume.
Or go disprove it.
This is what I was, because this is normally how people get caught up in these things. Is someone goes, if you came to K-State, you could make upwards $600,000. The same way at a job interview. At a job interview, they go, what does the job pay? And they go, between 30 upwards. And 100 grand. And they go, what does it pay? 31 grand.
That upwards will get you in trouble. And upwards so, to, upwards of.
So it could have been, it could have been that they offered him, you know, we're going to start you out at 150 as a backup. Mm-hmm. And then if you start next year and we get you in the rotation, you play this many games and we'll bump you up to 600. And, you know, if we win this fight, then you get boosted.
Yeah.
I could believe that, too, because that's, you know, they're businessmen. That. You don't necessarily make those blanket deals like that.
I agree on that.
It could have been something to that sense, too. So, you know, and then he comes back. He's not going to say, well, they said they'd start me here, coach. And then they were going to pay me $600.
No, I'm with you on that. I think you could have easily been the miscommunication. It's like all he heard was $600,000. It's like, did you hear all the other stipulations in there that we threw in there about it and where you're going to start at and all that kind of stuff? I think you're right. I think that's the incentive base.
It's like the thing in wrestling. They would always have people come out afterwards and they go, I was promised that I was going to win the world title. And then the people that were booking it go, we told him that we could see him as a world champion.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean we're giving it to you. We could see it.
No, I would do the same thing. I would say you can if you're with a woman and you don't want to say that you love her, you can always say, man, I really could see myself at some point falling in love with you. And you can say something along those lines, and all she will hear is, love you. That's all she'll hear. And you can always go back and like, oh, I didn't say I love you. I said I could see myself falling in love with you. Just put a lot of stuff in between I and love you. I could see myself falling in love with you. And then she like, oh, yeah, I said I could see it, and now I don't see it. Now,
if the stenographer would read back.
Yeah. It's like that commercial where they get to drop the flag and do the replay. Yeah. I wish that was so true in real life. It's like, flag on the play. I think I want to replay. I want to go back and look at that one. All right, there you go. Good stuff there. Okay, we come back. We'll squeeze it all into the next segment. Right? We squeeze in the Rangers report. It'll be a quick one. We'll squeeze in the Raj rant of the day. We'll throw that in there. Also, if we have time, I want to talk about those head coach rankings from CBS Sports about head coaches in the SEC. Talk about what Sark needs to do to take the next step to evolve into being an elite head coach, maybe the best coach in the SEC. And we'll try to throw in that sleeper conversation. So a lot to cover in the next segment of the show. We'll try to do our best to cover it all right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
The Rangers Report is brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time for the Ranger Report. Just a quick one here. Just a couple of nuggets. Rangers will be taking on the Astros this weekend series. So we'll have some more updates about that coming up next week. But how about this? Marcus Semien, remember Marcus Semien and Kirby Yates were both named as reserves to the All-Star game, the American League roster. Well, Marcus Semien was elevated to the starting lineup I'm at second base. That happened yesterday when it was announced that Jose Altuve, that he is going to miss the game to rest his sore left hand. And, that he's...
Yeah, I'd seen reports that it looked pretty gnarly after he got hit by a pitch with it, that it was turning colors.
So. Ooh, yeah, that ain't good. Yeah, that ain't good at all. So that's... Plus,
he doesn't want to go get booed. Again, it's in Arlington. He's gonna get booed.
Yeah,
there.
that's a great point. I forgot all about that at the Gilf, I should say. Yeah. All right. Any other nuggets on the Rangers?
Adolis Garcia will be added into the Home Run Derby. He was in it last season. He's the only player in there who is not part of the All Star game, but they wanted to have someone from the hometown there. They're changing the Home Run Derby this year, as there's no head to head in the first round. So it's going to be the top four home run hitters in the first round. We'll all move on then and then do head-to-head after that. But that'll be that. But Adolis Garcia is going to be in that. And if you're keeping up with the Silver Boot series between the Astros and Rangers, all the games so far have been earlier in the season. But right now the Astros are up 4-3. The first series they tied 2-2. Then the Astros won the second series 2-1. So they're up 4-3 on that one right now. But the Rangers could make some time back here. The Astros have been playing pretty good, but the Rangers are putting it together too. So this is where we start to get into it, where both teams trying to turn it on for the second half. The Astros right now, though, looking pretty good. So if they're going to try and take that momentum into All-Star break, the Rangers are going to try and break that momentum going into the All-Star break.
Good stuff there. All right. That's our Rangers report for the time being, brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer.
The Rangers report is brought to you by Texas Truck and Trailer, your premier truck accessory dealer.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite. Start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get to Rod's Rant of the Day. I was watching videos of the different players getting their Hall of Fame jackets. Really cool videos. I think it was Julius Peppers got one. I saw the Andre Johnson one. So with this Hall of Fame class, I started thinking to myself, man, when is the next time a Longhorn has a legitimate chance to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And for those who don't know, the Longhorns have already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They have Earl Campbell, of course, Bobby Dillon, Tom Landry, Bobby Lane, and Tex Schramm. So they got five guys.
And Mongo went in this year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Now, so I'm making six. Thank you very much. That's six, officially. Thank you very much. So you got six of them in the Hall of Fame. I was thinking to myself, when's the next Longhorn who's going to go into the Hall of Fame? And I was thinking at the Jamal Charles, actually, because he actually last year was nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility, and he's got a decent shot. I mean, I've compared his stats to the other running backs that he's being nominated with, or at least that are also in his class. But he does have the all-time record in yards per carry among players with at least 1,000 rushes at 5.4 yards per rush. But I went back and looked at his best seasons. I started looking at, his breakout seasons. And he had a really good season in 2010, but his best season was 2013. It was Andy Reid's first year in 2013 with the Kansas City Chiefs, so that made a huge difference. He had the most touchdowns he's had in his career, most first downs, most targets, most receptions, most receiving yards, most receiving touchdowns, most receiving first downs, the most touches overall, and the most yards from scrimmage. He was arguably the best offensive player in the league that year. So it was not only Andy Reid's presence as a play caller, play designer, and head coach, but Andy Reid brought in Chris Ault, actually, at the time. Chris Ault was one of the innovators and one of the main kind of founding fathers of the pistol formation. At Nevada, when they ran the pistol with Colin Kaepernick, by the way, in 2009, they became the first team with 3,000-yard rushers and led college football in rushing yards per game by more than 50 yards, by actually 50 yards more than the next best team in rushing yards per game. I mean, they were dominant. And it was because of this pistol formation. Pistol, the quarterback's not quite as deep. He's not under center, but not quite as deep as the shotgun. You kind of split the difference. He's about 4 yards behind the center, and the running back's about 7 yards behind him. Shotgun is a little bit deeper. Usually shotgun, the running back is next to, right next to the quarterback, because you do have that depth of 6 to 7 yards, and he's maybe 5 to 6 yards, and he is right next to him on either side. With pistol, it's going to be behind him, but the quarterback, not under center, going to be kind of splitting the difference between shotgun and between being under center. And literally, that was the purpose of the innovation, to get all of the benefits of the under center run game, and then the play action pass, which works better when a quarterback is under center. It's a lot more dramatic when they're under center, turning their back to the defense, a lot more realistic. And I think for the defense, it sells it more that it's actually going to be a run. Just works that way psychologically. But it's tougher to pull off because a quarterback, you turn your back to defense, then you got to reacquire everything, reacquire the entire vision after you have turned your back to them. That's tough. That's why most offensive coordinators and most quarterbacks, they rather just be in shotgun and do a play action fake via the shotgun so they can keep their eyes on the defense and what's moving. Really tough to turn your back to the defense for a while and then in a split second be able to reacquire all the defenders and where they're supposed to be and your reads, all right, and getting through your progressions. When quarterbacks can do that a lot, that is a true magic trick. They don't do it. That's why they don't do it as much anymore. It's just tough. It's just really tough to do. So the pistol, you want the benefits of that under center because you're under center. It is, as I said, it sells the play action pass way more. But then there are more defined angles to the gaps and to the holes that you want your running back to run through. And the running back gets, of course, a running start, all right, to develop, to get the momentum to run downhill. So it's better equipped to have a downhill running game when you're under center. You get that running back literally with a running start going downhill. That's kind of the point of it. So you get better, you get that advantage, all right. And then you also get the advantage of shotgun where you can survey and keep the quarterback's eyes at a distance from the rush and keep the quarterback's eyes downfield and never have to lose that vision that you have of surveying the field. So it's just a, you know, it's a compromise, the best of both worlds kind of thing. And so Chris Ault, one of the innovators of this, he has a record-setting performance with Colin Kaepernick there in 2009. Time goes on. Greg Roman, who's there at Stanford actually at the time, he goes to study Chris Ault's offense at Nevada when he was there at Stanford when he becomes the offensive coordinator with the 49ers with Jim Harbaugh, and they draft Colin Kaepernick. All right? They just start running the pistol. And one of the reasons they were so enamored with him in the draft is because Greg Roman had studied him and studied the pistol and Chris Ault there at Nevada. And at the same time, around this time, Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, the Shanahan clan, they're also using some pistol concepts with RG3 around this time. And this is the peak of the pistol's kind of popularity because you got the 49ers running a lot of it. You got Washington running some of it because they got it from Art Browse likely got it from watching Nevada and watching what they were doing there with Chris Ault. And then in addition to that, you had Andy Reid later on who hired Chris Ault when he first got to Kansas City Chiefs and started running it. And it was one of the keys to Jamal Charles's breakout season. And the reason that it's so effective in the running game is because it changes your angle as a defender. It changes your angles to the football. And it adds more variables for the defenders and the defense have to account for. Because you can run, you can still run all your toss run game out of it. You can still run your traditional handoff run game with it. You can still do all those things. But it changes the angles. Because usually when you're just handing off the football, you're either in shotgun just handing it off, or you are under center, and those, like I said, those angles are more defined. They've been the same angles to the same run plays for the last 70 years from under center. The defensive coordinator can tell you exactly as a linebacker what gap you need to be in to stop that run play. And now the same thing is pretty much true for shotgun runs as well, because it's still the same gaps. He's just, you're doing it from a shotgun formation, so no running start. So even you can make the argument they're going to be less effective in terms of getting to those specific gaps because you don't have the running start you usually would have. But I think it's a little bit tougher at times because they're reading the trajectory of the running back from those under center runs. It's tougher to judge that from a shotgun run. Right, because the running back's not running downhill just yet. So then think about the pistol runs, and the pistol allows you to hand off the football in traditional run game and to use the toss run game. And that's why with Jamaal Charles, because it threw off all the angles. And think about it. All you need, if you're an offensive play caller, play designer with a player with Jamaal Charles' speed, is a defender to take one false step, for the defender to take a bad angle, and Jamaal Charles destroys angles. And one false step can be all she wrote when you got a guy with world-class speed like Jamaal Charles. And so that's basically what happened. It was new, relatively new to the NFL, and there was a lot of bad angles to the football, a lot of variables that the defense couldn't account for, and it really did it was so unorthodox and non-traditional that just took defenders and defensive coordinators a while to catch on to exactly how they wanted to defend pistol runs and pistol plays overall, period. But remember, really good for maximizing speed because it changes angles to the football and adds more variables and more angles that the defense has to account for. So if you miscalculate or you take a wrong one, speed will make you pay. So think about that. That's what Jamaal Charles did in that 2013 season. And then think about the team that uses pistol the most now in 2023. It's the Miami Dolphins. What do Miami Dolphins have that make them unique? Speed, more than anybody in the NFL. So with their runs, they actually prefer toss runs because you can still run interior rushes and interior concepts and schemes in the run game with toss as the technique. So but it changes the angle for the defender, because when a defender sees toss, what do they think? Outside run. But it's not. It's a toss. So they get you going outside, and then the running back cuts it right back inside with a lot of speed. You already took the wrong angle to the football. So you already are one step behind, and with that kind of speed, they'll make you pay with explosive plays. And that's what Miami – so Miami ran it at – they ran pistol over 20% of the time. That was the most in the NFL because they knew. All right, so it benefits them with all that speed, and Tua gets the ball out really quickly at around 2.35 seconds. And even with play action out of pistol, he's getting rid of the football in under 2.4 seconds. 8.3 yards per attempt. The ball is out quick because it's hard to execute quick game under center because you have the labor of getting back in your drop. Man, that can be – it can take – that's a lot to go through, the mechanics of getting in the footwork, getting back in your drop. Well, you ain't got to – and in shotgun, well, your quick game is actually a little further because you're back an extra 3 yards out of shotgun. So what would be a 6 yard throw is now an 8-9 yard throw. So you've just added degree of difficulty to it, to the quick game. But in pistol, you're 3 yards closer, all right, and you don't have the labor of having to drop back in the quick game with the footwork and with the three-step drop and trying to get to the proper depth. You ain't got to worry about that. You're already there. So it actually helps the quick game. You just grip it, rip it. Exactly from that pistol formation. And you can still use the play action because the running back's behind you. And play action is more believable. So it fits what Miami wants to do in a lot of ways, getting the ball out quickly out of his hands. And then another team that found it last year, every team used it to a certain extent. I mean, Chicago used it last year. Baltimore didn't use it as much as they had when they had Greg Roman, but they used it last year. The Chargers used it. Philly used it to a significant amount. But the Rams, they were interesting because in the first 5 weeks of the season, they didn't use it at all. And then something or someone told Sean McVay, hey, man, this will solve our problems. And then after week 6, they used it the third most in the NFL. And there were some weeks they used it upwards of 20%. They were using it a lot. And Matt Stafford, 2.1 seconds time to throw out of pistol, and over 13% of their pistol runs end up being 10-plus yard runs, explosive plays. That's because the angles. So because when you miss, you're going to miss out of the pistol. Yeah, if you miscalculate, they're going to pop it. And getting it back to Bijan, since we're connecting this to Longhorns, Bijan Robinson is going to benefit from the pistol because Atlanta, under Arthur Smith, when he was there, they ran more pistol than anybody in the NFL in those in that three-year span. 25% of their snaps were out of the pistol formation. So they wanted to utilize Bijan out of the pistol. And don't worry, he's still going to get it because Zach Robinson was the offensive coordinator with the L.A. Rams. We just talked about the Rams. It was one of the ways that they turned around their season using the pistol. He is now the Atlanta offensive coordinator, and they ran more pistol than anybody. He's probably not going to change much of that, and he's seen how successful he can be with the Rams. And the Atlanta Falcons former offensive coordinator, Dave Ragone, who ran more pistol than anybody else in the league, is now the Rams offensive coordinator. So they're probably going to pick up where they left off, too. It's making a comeback. They had its highest, the NFL had its highest rate of pistol, over 5% of its snaps since 2013. When I just pointed out, it was at its peak when Chris Ault was there. So it's what's old is new again. It's coming back. Shane Waldron, who was the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator, they ran it a lot. I mean, they were the most efficient team out of pistol throwing the football. 59% of the time in pistol, they threw the football and at the highest EPA and the most efficient yards per pass out of the pistol formation throwing it. He is now the offensive coordinator with Chicago and the Bears. So they're going to run a lot more of it too. This is one of those things where you start, you go down one path and realize, oh man, this is all connected. That's football theory in a nutshell. All right, we come back. We'll dive into who said that. That's when Patrick plays pieces of audio, sometimes from the sports world, sometimes beyond the sports world, and based on the context clues, based on the familiarity of the voice itself, hopefully you can recall and identify who said that. We'll dive into that when we come back right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn. Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a 512 Friday edition of the Rodcast. That's with my co-host, the Idealionaire, Patrick Davis, does a great job at all the music and theme days of the week. That's when he plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Big Wise Brass Band. They're playing tonight at the Continental Club.
I like that. I like that jazz band. I'm getting more and more into jazz. My daughter loves jazz. I don't know why, but it relaxes her. We play a lot of different music in the house, and it's one of the music that it's one of the genres of music that relaxes her. Like jazz, and cocktail jazz. Yeah. It doesn't really matter what kind of jazz. It's freaky and weird. I don't understand it. Maybe she's going to be a jazz genius or something. I don't know. Let's get to the segment of Who Said That. That's when Patrick plays pieces of audio from the sports world, sometimes beyond the sports world. And based on the context clues, based on the familiarity of the voice itself, hopefully you can identify and recall who said that.
I would like 75 scholarships, 25 walk-ons. Or just give me the money and let me work with it.
100 players.
100.
100
I'm cool
players.
With 100. Long as I can have some type of scout team or some type of way to develop the young man that's most likely can show you that they're not ready right now, but they may be a dog next year. I got to have a developmental process on the scout team. And
which is what the NFL has done. They've like, created a developmental roster.
Sometimes right now, I may not use 85. I have 85 scholarships. I'll never use them. Ain't 85 dogs out there that I want. So I may save 8 to 10, and guess what happens? You mess around and win, then you attract more. I got an extra 10 that I ain't even used last year. I could put on this year.
Always for a rainy day. That's why Deion's prime. That's why he's always for a rainy day.
Oh, man, I'm not going to force it. You're going to force 85 kids. He's forcing it.
As Deion Sanders, honestly, that's what I think some of the now the new decision makers who are determining the financial framework of football now, that's what they saying. They want to reduce the roster size. They're like, you don't need that many scholarship players. They're like, look what the NFL is doing. They only do it with, like, you know, 50, 60 guys. You can cut it down. And they also want to get rid of walk-ons, too. They want to get rid of all the expenses. So they want to get it. But they do want to reduce roster size, kind of what Deion's implying. Like, I don't need 85. You don't need 85. But it's nice to have 85.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, because you want to have the guys that are coming up and developmental and pushing that. I remember there was a thing, one of the awards they gave away, I think last year, for the college football awards was this like the whatever best teammate thing or something, and it was about a lineman who was playing at some small school and he didn't have a scholarship and he was like his senior year and he's like I just got to go somewhere where I can get, like, I can't afford to keep working this job and losing money and taking out debt. So I'm going to go. And another lineman who was making more NIL basically gave him his scholarship. And the thing was, the start of it, the coach was like, I only get 85 scholarships. And I was like, well, I think starting right tackle should get one of them. Call me crazy. But I think if you get 85, starting right tackle should be on that list.
So they never had the video with him where he earns the scholarship? They didn't want to?
They showed the video of him giving it, the other scholarships. They did it, but a player had to give up. The starting left tackle had to give it up for the starting right tackle.
Because he was making so much NIL money. He was like, he's making more.
But it is crazy. And, like, this is why you're an awful coach coaching here, is because you can't manage your roster well enough. And you have a guy who's outplaying all these other guys you're recruiting and giving scholarships to.
You don't want
to
give him a scholarship.
And you still won't give him a scholarship. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that, because then you can't call it a meritocracy. Because you're supposed to be able to earn a scholarship if you end up starting. You earned it, man. You get a scholarship. That's wild. All right, good stuff, Patrick, as always, baby. Good week of shows. We appreciate you, brother. Remember, next week, we'll be back. Same time, same channel. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on the broadcast. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Have a great weekend. And until next week, hook 'em and peace.
Ready for the next episode. Hey.